Current state on 90.5 WKAR. The 20th Michigan Shakespeare Festival season includes what might be the biggest of all the Bard's works, Hamlet. Current state Scott Pohl is here with a preview of the season, which starts Thursday night in Jackson. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Mark. Yes, Hamlet tops this year's Michigan Shakespeare Festival schedule. But as has become customary, a lesser-known Shakespeare play is on the schedule, too, along with one non-Shakespeare classic. I talked with the festival's artistic director, Jan Blixt, about choosing Hamlet for this season.
Well, this is our 20th anniversary, and we choose our seasons about 9 months in advance. And so it was January of 2013 that I had to pitch it to the board. And when I was looking at shows for this season, this is our 20th anniversary, and most theaters don't make it this long. And not only have we made it this long, but for the past few years, we've been growing. And so I said, I want to do Hamlet because I want to go big or go home. This is the longest of Shakespeare's plays. It's the best known of Shakespeare's plays. It's the one that when you say to people Shakespeare, they often say Hamlet. I think it's also one of the ones that a lot of people had to read in high school and might hate. So one of my goals in life is to resurrect Shakespeare from the horrible memories of people from having to slog through it from when they were in school as soon as it was okayed. And I started talking to the actor that I wanted to play Hamlet. I knew that this was going to be something special, something interesting, and I really feel bad for anyone who misses this one because it really will let people know why 400 years later Hamlet is considered the best play in English literature. It's the kind of show that we had to put a lot more pre-prep into, and we had to really make a lot of decisions early about what story we were going to tell. This is a play that could easily run 5 hours. And no, we are not going to ask any of our audiences to sit through 5 hours. It runs about three right now. And in order to do that, a lot of decisions had to be made before we even got into the rehearsal hall about what story we were telling and how we were going to tell it. So this production very much stands on its own. It is itself.
When you decide to stage, say, a three-hour version as opposed to the five-hour version, does the three-hour version already exist out there?
No,
or do you have to do your own editing?
Yes, we do our own adapting. The process for Hamlet started again with, I always start with the folio, which is the 1623 version of the plays. We believe that that is the closest to what Shakespeare actually wrote. His plays were not actually published in his own hand during his lifetime. And so the 1623 folio is considered the best version. I always start with that. And again, 5 hours. So I start looking at what part of the story I want to tell. In Hamlet, you've got this domestic drama of what's going on between he and his family. You've got kind of a spy story going on, what's happening between Denmark and Norway. You've got the personal, of course, fight that's going on with him and himself. Can he do this? You've actually got kind of an action story that's running through it with these swashbuckling sort of characters. And so it becomes what is the most important part. And I decided early on that the most interesting part to me was this man, this brilliant, educated, stylish, fascinating man who has been raised his entire life and groomed to be the king. This is something his entire life he's known he was being set up for, and they have given him all of the knowledge, all of the skills that they could possibly give him so he would be a great king. And all of his life he was expecting this to happen. And when his beloved father dies, it's pulled out from him. And he's basically put under house arrest in his childhood home by his uncle, who has taken the throne. I thought, personally, that that was the most interesting story. So a lot of the other things started to fall away, which is why in this production we don't have Fortinbras in Norway coming in. I love the parallel storyline. I love that this all happens. But again, that's 5 hours of show. So as soon as I decided to lose the external elements of it, the Norse version and the problems between Denmark and Norway, that knocked out an hour right there. And so from there on out, it became surgical trimming based on clarity, based on the emphasis that we wanted the different scenes to have. We started taking things from the different quartos and making changes based on other versions of the text because we wanted it to be as strong and as clear a production as possible. So the final version of the script that we have, which in truth was probably finalized maybe the end of last week, we've been making changes and alterations to it up until then, comes from the First Folio, the Arden. It comes from the second quarto, known as the Bad Quarto. Just all different sources to put together this story. And that's kind of the dramaturgical work that has to go into putting up a production of Hamlet.
In what ways have you updated the setting?
Well, the set itself, we went off of the Gothic look of old European castles. So it very much has the look of an 11th century, 12th century castle. But we are setting it modern dress. We are setting it very much modern European royalty. I find it fascinating that Queen Elizabeth lives in Windsor Castle on the weekends. Windsor Castle was built in 1070. So it has the trappings of the power of her position as queen. And that was one of the things we wanted to have, was this Hamlet and the family constantly overshadowed by the history of this family, the history of Denmark, the power of the royalty. And in this particular case, he is not wielding it. He is trapped by it.
Who's your star?
My star is, he'd actually giggle if he heard that, because he's a character actor and he's brilliant. And his name is Sean Fausch. And he is a musician and a singer and an actor and a playwright in his own right. He is a multi-talented and fascinating guy. And as soon as Hamlet was announced and as soon as the board accepted my proposal, I went to him first and said, hey, I really want you to play this. And I was fortunate enough to have someone who said yes and then spent a few months just reading it. And then we were able to get together after I had made some of the initial cuts and talked about initially what I wanted the show to be. He got very involved in the process. And it has been a terrific experience to be able to work with an actor who is completely accepting of the story that I want on that stage and that I want my audiences to see, but he's also bringing so much of himself to it and working with me to make the show stronger. He is absolutely amazing. I think people are going to fall in love with him.
We're talking with Jan Blixt, who is the artistic director of the Michigan Shakespeare Festival. And Jan, here is your chance to tell all but maybe the very most ardent admirers of the Bard about Cymbeline. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
You are pronouncing it, yes.
Almost unknown to modern audiences.
It is a very, very rarely produced show, and I'm not necessarily sure why, because it's fascinating. Cymbeline is one of the later plays in Shakespeare's career. It's when he was starting to get more into the Jacobean drama. It's romantic with a capital R. It is a comedy in the traditional sense that means, you know, the villains go down and the heroes win in the end, which is great. But it is not necessarily one of his light comedies. It's not a romantic comedy. The story is the king of Britain in the first century AD is King Cymbeline. And this is a time when the armies of Augustus Caesar were trying to invade and were starting their invasion of Britain. And he, at the beginning of the play, is under the thrall of his wife, the queen, who is, it's sort of hinted at, has a little bit of witchcraft in her, a little bit of something going on. And she is a very prototypical wicked stepmother. Her stepdaughter, Cymbeline's daughter, Imogen, the princess, has married her childhood sweetheart, and that is not the person that the queen wanted her to marry. And so her husband has been banished. the kingdom has basically been taken over by the evil queen. They're worried about the Roman invasion, and the rest of the play is bringing it all together. And because there are so many elements of Cymbeline that will be recognizable to a modern audience, because it almost feels Grimm's fairy tale like. You've got your wicked stepmother, you've got your plucky heroine, you've got your situation where the king has been sort of sidelined. You're going to recognize a lot of these elements. And because of that, Robert Kaczlarek, who is directing the show, decided to really go with a storytelling fairy tale quality to it. So it's very much being told like a fairy tale, and this is the story of Cymbeline.
Now, for your non-Shakespeare program, the importance of being earnest would seem to be a perfect fit for this festival. Tell me about choosing this play.
When I approach putting together a season, what I try to do is choose one play that everyone knows, automatically is Shakespeare. For instance, Hamlet. The second show is always a Shakespeare show, but is a lesser known, doesn't get produced as much. In this case, Cymbeline. Both of those shows have a lot of humor to them, but I don't think either one of them is what you would call a raucous comedy. And what we try to do with the third classical show that isn't Shakespeare is to make sure that the season is rounded out and that there's something for everyone. So being that the importance of being earnest is just a funny, fun, witty, clever, laugh-out-loud show, that is what I felt would be the best in order to balance the three different productions and give something to any audience that likes classical theater.
Michigan Shakespeare Festival performances through August 17th are at the Bauman Theater inside the Potter Center at Jackson College. The festival kicks off with a preview performance of Hamlet on Thursday night. The full schedule, including showings of Cymbeline and the importance of being earnest, can be found at MichiganShakespeareFestival.com. And it's important to check the schedule, I think, to make sure people know that it isn't Hamlet the first weekend, Cymbeline the second weekend, that sort of thing.
No, we run and rep.
Mix up.
Yep.
Yeah. Artistic Director Jan Blixt of the Michigan Shakespeare Festival, thank you.
Thank you very much.
For Current State, this is Scott Pohl.